Blog Talk Radio.
The Vision Global Podcast Show is a podcast that welcomes all kinds of people and all types of professions from all over the world. I am so happy you decided to listen to this podcast. Now sit back and enjoy the show. Welcome, everyone, to the Vision Global Show with your host, Crystal Starn. Today, we have an amazing guest that's coming on the show. His name is Jerry Sanfarelli. He is from East Hampton, Connecticut, formerly from New Haven. He is a guitarist and lead singer and musical director of the Jukebox 45 50s and 60s oldies doo-wop show band. Jerry has been performing for over 50 years all around the world. So let's welcome Jerry Sanfarelli to the show. Hi, Jerry. How are you?
Hi, Crystal. I'm fine, thank you. Thank you for having me on.
Oh, you're welcome. So I'm very happy that you're on here today. I can't wait to hear your story and your background and all that you're doing. One of the questions I had was, just tell the audience a little bit about who you are and your background.
Sure. Well, you know, my name is Jerry Sanfarelli. I'm originally from New Haven, Connecticut, which is a coastal town along Long Island Sound. And then, you know, I grew up there, and I spent my life's occupation as a firefighter for the city of New Haven there. I put on close to 29 years. And then I saw fit to retire, and I moved up towards central Connecticut. And all the while, you know, I've been playing music in various bands, you know, throughout the years. And when I got up into central Connecticut after I retired, I wanted to really go into music full time. And so I formulated this group that is presently the Jukebox 45 Show Band. So that's, you know, how I got to where we are now.
I guess who or what inspired you to get involved in this type of industry, like maybe to become a singer?
That's a good question. When I was about 7 years old, I guess, I lived down in New Haven, and we lived in a two-family house. My grandparents lived downstairs, and we lived on the second floor. And my aunt, who lived, downstairs with her parents, she was 10 years older than me. And she would come home with these 45 records and pop them on her record player. And I would hear the music upstairs, and I would run down and listen to the music. And I very quickly became enamored with the 50s music. I just knew that there was something very powerful about that music. Of course, you know, being 7 years old, I had no idea about love and heartache and all that stuff. But I knew that the words that were involved in the music were very, very powerful. So I didn't know it at the time, but that was laying the groundwork for the band that I currently have, called, you know, the Jukebox 45 50s doo-wop band.
Well, that's wonderful. I guess one of the things that you could maybe talk about is like some of the music that you sing. You know, maybe if you want to touch on like some of the albums that you have or songs.
Sure. Yeah, well, you know, growing up, a lot of the artists, musical artists that influenced me heavily, you know, were artists like Fred Parris and the Five Satins. They were from New Haven, actually, the same town that I lived in. Groups like the Penguins, the Platters, the Drifters. The Drifters, very prolific doo-wop group, had so many songs. And all these songs, they impacted me, you know. So I decided that, you know, when we formulated the group, that I would like to do some of the tunes that I enjoyed listening to when I was younger. And so that's how we got to, you know, to do the album. We went into the studio and, you know, knocked out 14 songs, which is a lot of songs to do right off the hop, you know. But we, you know, we did it. And I think each song we did in 3 takes, and then we mastered it and mixed it down and everything. But the album that we have now is the Jukebox 45 Showband Doo-Wop Memories album. And that's on all the major platforms, Spotify, Amazon, you name it, iTunes, YouTube Music, etc.
Well, what motivates you to keep going? Like, because you've been doing this for a lot of years. Like, what, you know,
yeah, I
don't
think
that you'd want to retire eventually. So I guess, like, what motivates you?
Well, actually, you know, I am a retired fireman, so this is my second career. And I really, really enjoy what I'm doing, and I would like to continue doing this for as long as I can. The music really motivates me to continue. When we do the group harmony together, we have 5 guys in the band all together. And I'll introduce them to you at some point. But each guy has a very particular part in the music. For instance, I sing the lead. And then we have first tenor, second tenor. We have a baritone, which is the low end. And we have a soprano voice. So when they all blend together, it really is a very harmonious sound, and it really inspires us to sing more, you know, when you can hear how nice the music is, you know, how it sounds. So, you know, none of us are really getting bored with this at all. We really want to continue forging ahead with the music, you know, so.
I think that's awesome. I actually like the music. I listen to it, and I think you all sound excellent, so. I can understand
Thanks.
Why you want to keep going with it, because it is amazing. That all being said,
yeah.
Do you have plans on, like, any upcoming shows in the area, like around the United States? Are you traveling around the world?
Well, right now we're planning on going back into the studio these next several months to produce our second album. And so we're taking a little bit of time off from the road. But when we do get back after the first of the year, we have shows booked in Brooklyn, Connecticut. Everybody says, Brooklyn, wow. I said, no, it's Brooklyn, Connecticut, not Brooklyn, New York. But it's a nice place there. We've played there before several times. We also have a couple of shows booked in Rocky Hill, Connecticut, and a couple of other places. And these are, you know, these shows are really great. They're doo-wop, all these, you know, live doo-wop shows where we perform all the most memorable songs, especially the ones that we have on the CD. And our shows usually last about an hour and a half or so. And everybody loves it. You know, they just come out and enjoy the music.
Yeah, I think it would be a lot of fun listening to it and dancing to it. And I think it's great what you're doing. And
thanks. Our busy time of the year usually is in the summertime. We do many of the outdoor summer concert series around the states. You know, they have Concert Under the Stars or Music Under the Stars series, and they're outdoor shows. It's really nice under the, you know, in the summertime, and we're out there performing on a stage, and a lot of the people are just in folding chairs outside on the lawn, and you know, it's a lot of fun. And that's where the bulk of our work comes from during the summer months. And then when it gets cooler, you know, we'll go back inside and start doing some shows and some theaters and things like that. But right now, like I said, you know, we're going to take a little bit of time off. We had a busy summer, and we're going to just concentrate on getting the second album produced and engineered and so forth.
And what advice would you give the younger generation that may be trying to start out and create a band?
Yeah, so that's a good question. You know, music is a universal language. I mean, there's no language barrier between music and people. And so I think people or young people who want to express themselves, want to, you know, get their feelings out, there's no better way to do it than in music, I think. My personal feeling is that, you know, music is the best, is the most creative thing you can do in terms of, you know, what people enjoy listening to. And so they should really start off, you know, shooting for the stars. And if you land up on the moon, that's great. You know, when we first started, I mean, when I first started, I was very young. I think I started playing when I was about 10 or 12, and I formulated my first band. And, of course, you know, at that time, you're very impressionable, and there's so many things going on, and you learn so much right away. But the thing that I enjoyed the most, I think, was being able to entertain audiences. I just really got a kick out of, you know, the reactions that people would give us when we played. They just really enjoyed it, had a lot of fun. And so I think a lot of young people today, they're missing out on that type of thing because, you know, everybody's on their laptops or their cell phones or the texting or this and that, you know, and they miss out on a lot of things. When we were younger, I think it was a much simpler time back then. You know, it was easier going, and I really believe that people were a lot happier back then. And now I think the pace is so fast and everything is instantaneous and instant messaging and instant texting and all that. And back then, you know, you had to wait a little bit to get a letter from your boyfriend or your girlfriend in the mail, and they would handwrite it, you know, a handwritten letter, and then you could keep it and hang on to it. I mean, I had an experience recently where I had to go pick up some medication at the pharmacy, and the girl asked me to sign for it, and so I wrote my name in cursive, you know. And she said, "Wow, you really have nice handwriting." And I said, "Thank you." She said, "I wish I could do that." And initially, I laughed because I thought she was kidding me, but she wasn't. You know, she said, "You know, they don't teach cursive in school anymore." You know. And I said, "Well, how do you send your boyfriend a love letter?" And she says, "Well, I just do this." And she started, you know, texting on her phone. And there's something to be said about that. You know, when the times were slower and there was more time to do things. And so I think this music emulates that time period. I mean, it talks about, you know, being in love and heartache and just about life in general, really. And I think that's probably in part the reason why it's still going strong, because so many people can identify with it. So the younger generation can really appreciate the music, and they can, you know, just enjoy the words. I mean, now the words seem to be, in the newer music, seem to be very strong and very, I don't know the word I'm looking for, harsh, you know, and back then, it was just really all about love, you know, being dropped dead in love, you know, with somebody.
Yeah, I agree with you because in today's music, you know, I have to, like when I'm traveling or whatever and there's music playing, I have to change a station quickly when a certain song might come on the radio that might be something bad, you know. You know, it's just ridiculous. Yeah. Like, you can't even leave the radio on. Like, years ago, you could just leave it on and not have to worry about anything. Now it's like this new stuff that's being produced, some of it, not all of it, but some of it, you really gotta be having your ears tuned in to make sure it's not anything inappropriate, especially when you have kids in the vehicle, you know.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
It's just horrible.
I wanted to mention the guys in the group, if you don't mind. We
yeah.
all came together in kind of an interesting way. And like I said before, we were all playing in bands throughout our lives. And I really feel that God brought us together. And I'll tell you why. Because initially, when I was looking back in, I think, 2000 and early 2015 to put something together, I was searching for musicians that would be a good fit. And one of the things I was looking for is somebody who didn't have any egos, They didn't think they were better than anybody else, but individuals that were more on the same page. You know, we all got along. So the guys, all the guys in the band are all strong Christians, and I think that makes a big difference because we're all pulling in the same direction. And when we get together, everybody kicks it up a notch to get the music done. And so, you know, the first guy I met was a bass player. And oddly enough, I was in Costco shopping around, and he was on the floor. I think he was a salesman. And, you know, we just got to chatting about different things. And he mentioned that he was a musician. And I said, well, that's great. You know, I'm looking to put something together. And I mentioned it to him, and he said, geez, you know, I'm actually auditioning for a blues band, you know, this week. And so I said, oh, geez, okay, you know, and I thought that was going to be the end of it. I said, well, that guy probably won't, you know, work out. So I left, and I got all the way to my vehicle in the parking lot, which was way up at the end of the lot. And before I got in the vehicle, something told me, and I believe it was God, it told me to turn around and go back down there. And I did, and I saw him, and I said, listen, you know, if that audition doesn't go right, or if something changes, here's my card, give me a call, you know. And that was the end of it. I never thought I was going to hear from him again. And then a few days later, you know, he called me up and said, if you're still interested in, you know, putting something together, I'd like to meet with you and talk. And that's what started it off, you know, and that's Joe Carver. He is a founding member of this group, and he plays bass guitar brilliantly, and you know, he's the first tenor in the group, and his voice and my voice just blend so beautifully together. He and I sing. I think we sing very well together, you know, and he's just a great guy. He's a strong Christian, and so that was Joe Carver, and then we were playing out at some restaurant, I believe, and someone came up to us. We had a substitute drummer sitting in, and they said, listen, if you're looking for a drummer, this guy right here, he's a consummate professional, he's the real deal, you know. So we gave him a shot, and boy, oh boy, he was, you know. That's Al Floyd, and he's our drummer in the group, and he's also a strong Christian, and he sings baritone. We found out by accident. We were at a rehearsal one day, and I think he was just humming some tunes. And I said, do you sing? He said, no, I don't sing. And then I heard the voice, you know, and then we got him to come up to the mic and start singing. And, you know, he's become a very, very important part of the harmony that we do with our songs. And that was Al Floyd. And this next guy, Paul Scungio, I actually wanted him for the band early on. But he was involved with other projects, and he was unavailable, you know. And I was looking around, and we had a few guys come in and out of the group, and, you know, they didn't last for whatever reason. But like I said, again, they have to be a good fit with the group, and everybody's got to get along and so forth. And one day I got word that, you know, Paul was not doing anything, and to give him a call and see if he would like to come in to the group. And I called him, and sure enough, he showed up for rehearsal. And Paul sings second tenor beautifully. He really adds a lot to the doo-wop sound with our harmonies. And he plays keyboards. You know, he has a synthesizer, and he can pretty much recreate any type of, you know, string instruments or horn section or whatever. And it really adds to the sound of the group. It really thickens it up, you know. And so that's Paul. And then last but not least, when we came into the studio to do our album, I happened to run into a guy that I had met years back, and you know, I met him infrequently over the years, but I did, you know, keep in touch with him. Like when I saw him, we would sit and talk, we would talk for a bit. And he played tenor sax and baritone sax. And he asked me what I was doing, and I told him, and he said, geez, you know, if you'd like to have a sax on there, he said, I'd be more than happy to play on it. So there it is. He was in the studio with us, and that's Doug James. And Doug James is a very popular guy. He was a founding member of Roomful of Blues band out of Rhode Island. And he's played with a lot of, tremendous artists. He played with Stevie Ray Vaughan. Now he plays with his brother Jimmy Vaughan. He played with Eric Clapton. He just came back from a tour out in Red Rock, Boulder, Colorado, with Steve Miller Band. Now he's right now, as we speak, he's out in Zurich, Switzerland, playing a blues show out there with the room full of blues guys. So we're very happy and honored to have him in the group, and that's Doug James. So between the five guys, we have a nice sound. They have a really nice sound, and people really like it.
That's awesome. Growing up, I played the saxophone. That probably will make you laugh a little bit because I'm a girl and I was really short. I was the shortest person in my class. And my dad actually played the saxophone as well. And he was the one that wanted me to play. And at first I was like, oh my gosh, I don't want to have to carry this big case, to school all the time. And,
yeah.
But I learned to like it and I enjoyed it. So.
Oh yeah. Actually that was my instrument of choice. Initially when I was thinking about music. But my younger brother took up the saxophone. So, I figured if he was playing saxophone, I should play something different. And that was right around the time when the Beatles were, the Beatles came to America in the mid-60s. And everybody on the block, every kid wanted a guitar, That was a very popular thing. So I was no different, I wanted one too. My parents said, absolutely not. But, I did learn how to, I took lessons with a guy. I still keep in touch with him. He taught me how to play the guitar the right way. I started off playing some classical guitar. And he's an outstanding teacher. He's like my mentor over the years. Joe Tenari, what a great guy he is. And, so he got me indoctrinated into the world of guitar, and I really didn't really think that I would ever really play the guitar professionally. I thought I was going to do it just as a hobby. But the more I played it and the more he played the guitar, the more inspired I was. I mean, he really inspired me. He plays beautifully. And so I ended up taking the guitar up and singing is only a secondary part for me. I sang harmony, background harmony, in a lot of different bands over the years, but I never really sang lead vocal. And when we first started this group, like I said, we were looking for guys to come in and fill out the different positions, and nobody ever showed up for the lead. So Joe Carver, the bassist, and I, we looked at each other, and he says, well, why don't you try it? So I said, all right, I'll give it a shot. And, it took, several years before. I mean, I was taking some lessons with Christine Ullman. Christine Ullman was a Saturday Night Live singer in New York, and she was very helpful. She got me lined up properly, and she gave me a lot of different techniques to work on, and she said that I had a very good range. And I said, well, what do you mean by that? She said, well, you could sing in any different key, and that could be a good thing or a bad thing. And I said, why is that? And she said, because all the guys in the band are going to want you to sing all the songs because, you can hit all the different keys. And so, I was able to hone my skills and practice, and, we developed it to where we are now. I mean, I have to tell you, though, Crystal, sometimes practice is really not that much fun. It's work. We have to go in there, and we tackle a lot of things. And sometimes, it grates on people's nerves. But we know that we're working towards an end, and we want a certain sound, and we want the sound of the song to come out a certain way. And so we just keep plugging away at it, you know, and sometimes it's very frustrating. We'll go to rehearsal and we won't get that much accomplished in that one day. But then, you know, you come back next week and wow, you know, everybody practiced their parts at home and we're able to put it together very quickly. So I think, like, again, it's a group effort. Everybody has to be pulling in the same direction.
Right. Yeah, you all have to work together. And one of the questions I was going to ask is if you ever face challenges, but that is challenging, you know, always having to practice and everything. You know, that kind of answers that question, unless you have any other challenges
that
you would have
faced. Yeah, you know, there's a lot of challenges. I'm the leader of the group, and sometimes it's hard to be the leader of the group because you have to make sure that everybody is heard and gets their, you know, if they have any problems, you have to try to solve them. Trying to get everybody together for one rehearsal is very difficult. And especially when we go on the road, not everybody goes together. So we're in a caravan and, you know, sometimes we get separated and sometimes guys miss the turn and, you know, two guys will get there before the other guys and we're going, you know, now that GPS is around, it's a lot easier because we can just plug in the address and get to where we're going. But before, you know, I remember we played the Durham Fair, which is a pretty big deal. And this was like our second year there. And I missed the turnoff because there's a bunch of different ways to get into that place. It's a big, big fair. And I kept going straight and two guys turned into the parking lot and two guys went straight and like we're all separated and nobody knew where we were going. But we all finally got back together and hooked up and, you know, we got there in plenty of time to set up and do the show, you know, so it all worked out. But sometimes it's pretty stressful. I mean, you know, it's not always an easy run.
Great. Well, I want to thank you so much for coming on. I loved hearing about your story, and I think it'll inspire many out there that's listening. And where can people find you, like maybe on social media? Do you have a website?
Yeah, sure. The best way to find us is on Facebook. And our Facebook page is Jukebox 45 Show Band. And that has all the information, contact information, email, so forth. It has a lot of our uploaded videos, where we're playing, where we're going to be next. And then we also have a worldwide webpage, www.jukebox45.us. And that tells a lot about what motivates us and the stuff we're doing, and it's a good source of information. And of course, you know, anybody that would like to contact me personally, you know, I can give you my cell phone number, which is 203-376-5396.
Is there anything else that you want to tell the audience?
Well, I just want to reiterate that all of our music on the Doo-Wop Memories album is now widely made available to the general public on all of the major digital platforms, Amazon Music, Spotify, iTunes, YouTube Music, you know, all the major ones. So you can download the music that way also.
Well, I love the music so much. I chose two songs to play today. The one is I Believe, and the other is In Still of the Night.
Oh, those are two of my favorite songs.
Yeah. Is there anything you want to say about the songs before
sure.
I play them?
Well, the first one, In the Still of the Night, that was, of course, written by Fred Parris. And Fred Parris was with the Five Satins, and he was a New Haven, lifelong resident of New Haven. And he actually wrote that song when he was in the Army, and he was actually, I think he said he was underneath the bridge, and I think it was in Philly, and he wrote that song one evening, and he never ever thought that that song would ever go anywhere. In fact, it was the B side of another song, and when it finally did, you know, he finally did make it big with that song. I think it's probably one of the most prolific doo-wop songs there is. It's one of the most requested ones. And he was very, very surprised that it, you know, did as well as it did. And I asked him one time if he would come and sing. One night we were in town in a local place, and I asked him if he would come and sing. And he said, you know, Jerry, I've had 60-plus good years of music, he said, and, you know, I'm retired now, he said, but now is your time to carry the torch for us. And I was so, so honored that he said that. I think he really, really enjoyed it. He got us a copy of the CD. He got a chance to listen to it. Of course, Fred Parris passed away recently, and I was so glad that I had an opportunity to communicate with him. And that's a great, great song. And in the beginning of the song, I think it gives a short dissertation of about the music. And I think you'll appreciate that. And the second song, I believe, that particular song has a lot of meaning to me personally. The words are just, they cut you deep, very, very strong song for me. And I had a chance to, Larry Chance was the guy who made that song very popular. And I had a chance to speak to him on the phone about, you know, the reasons why I thought it was such a great song. You know, I know the experience about losing people. You know, we've all lost people, and that, you know, you have to believe that there's something else after this, and this is not the end. And I happen to know that. I had a personal experience when I was very young, and it just fortified that feeling that I had. So when I sang that song, I actually say that in the wording when I'm using the words to describe what I just said.
Well, I am going to play them now, and I think it's great that everything that you're doing. I love talking to you, and I'd love to meet the rest of the band members eventually. You know, maybe we can do another show or something with all of them. I'm going to play In Still. Go ahead.
No, that's going to say, that would be great if we... Mm-hmm.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, that would be great to have the rest of the guys on the show. We can probably arrange that. You know, we would love to have everybody together, and maybe we could do an a cappella version of a song or something. But I wanted to say thank you for having me on. It was a pleasure to talk to you, and I really enjoyed the time we spent.
Oh, you're welcome. And I enjoyed it as well, too. I'm going to play the In Still the Night, and then I'll play I Believe, and then I'll close the show after that.
All right. Well, thank
Here
you.
Here we go. Time. You're welcome.
On a cold wintry afternoon in February of 1956, a premier vocal harmony group reigning from New Haven, Connecticut, wrote and recorded this song in the basement of St. Bernadette's Church. It very quickly reached number one on the charts and became one of the all-time favorite doo-wop songs. We'd like to do it for you right now in the style of none other than Mr. Fred Parris and the Five Satins.
of the darkest night, a candle glows.
A candle glows.
I believe for everyone who goes astray, someone will come to show the way. I believe above the storm, the smallest prayer can still be heard.
Can still be heard.
I believe that someone in the great somewhere hears every word.
I know that at one time or another, we've all lost someone very near and very dear. But there's no cause to fear, because there's someone above, watching over them and watching over us. Believe me, I know this personally.
Wow, amazing. I just love that music. That was the Jukebox 45 show band that you just heard. And thank you again, Jerry Fanfarelli, for coming on. I enjoy what you're doing, and I enjoy the music.
Thank you again, Crystal, for having me on. Keep in touch. Like I said, you know, the guys would probably be able to get together and do a show with you again at some point. And I think it would be really nice. Yeah.
Yeah, that would be awesome. I would enjoy that. Yeah, definitely keep in touch. And thank you again for coming on. And thank you, everyone out there, for listening. Until next time, hope everyone has a blessed day. Take care.